Watch programs on your schedule with the KPBS Plus streaming service. See new episodes of Nature and Nova, latest news from PBS NewsHour and KPBS Evening Edition, local shows like Ken Kramer's About San Diego. Learn more at kpbs.org/kpbsplus. Good morning, I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. It's Wednesday, May 13th. County leaders will soon vote on closing a residential campus for foster youth. More on that next, but first, the headlines. Mpox cases are rising statewide and globally, including the more severe clade 1 strain. San Diego County has reported 12 clade 2 cases among men 17 to 52 years old this year and 0 clade 1 cases. The disease spreads through close physical contact. County public health officials are urging people at greater risk for Mpox to get both doses of the JYNNEOS vaccine. People who have only received one dose are urged to complete the series as soon as possible. A UC San Diego program that recruits early career researchers and places them into the biomedical field is being granted $5 million from the National Institutes of Health Common Fund. The program recruits faculty in cohorts and also offers training to those recruits. UCSD says it's paved the way for the university to hire 12 faculty members in life sciences disciplines since it started in 2022, and that those faculty members have brought in $16 million in new research grants. In more grant-related news, the San Diego Foundation yesterday approved $750,000 in grants from its Unity Fund. The three grants will be used to help more than 6,000 San Diegans gain access to housing, mental health support, and healthcare. The Unity Fund was created in response to federal funding cuts. The foundation says that more than $32 million has been awarded to nonprofits since the Unity Fund began in September. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
Most stories do not start with a journalist. They start with people. Noticing when a river runs dry. Asking why a school is changing. Discovering something new next door. Curiosity is human. Your right to keep asking questions is at the heart of NPR's mission. And we are not going anywhere.
County leaders will soon vote whether to close San Pasquale Academy. Education reporter Katie Anastas says enrollment has dropped as the foster care system has changed.
San Pasquale Academy is a residential campus for foster youth. It's provided housing, a high school, mental health services, and more since 2001. Over the last decade, state and federal law has prioritized placing kids with family members instead of in group settings. That's meant fewer students at San Pasquale Academy and fewer sources of funding. The county has been gathering public input on how best to use the campus. Next week, the Board of Supervisors will vote whether to start a, quote, planned phased wind down of the academy, end quote. The county's chief administrative officer says current seniors and juniors would be allowed to graduate high school from San Pasquale. Younger students would gradually transition to other schools and homes. The decision is on the agenda for the board's meeting on Tuesday. Katie Anastas, KPBS News.
The 4th of July is still nearly 2 months away, but one North County city is getting ready to fight illegal fireworks with hefty fines. North County reporter Alexander Wen explains the new ordinance in Oceanside.
This is the scene that the city of Oceanside is hoping to stop. Illegal fireworks lighting up in people's backyards and causing a nuisance. Michael Zuddy says the fireworks not only disrupt the neighborhood, it is also a fire danger.
I live near the San Luis Rey River, which is it's a fire danger area. And I've seen when I've ridden on the bike trail where the Roman candles have been fired off.
The city has had a ban for years, but the city council had just passed a schedule of fines that started $1,000 for the first violation, $2,500 for the second, and $5,000 for the third. The fines are capped at $10,000 for a calendar year. Zuddy hopes the hefty fine would be enough to deter people from lighting up. The council still has to take one more vote. If it passes the second reading, the new ordinance goes into effect June 19th. Alexander Nguyen, KPBS News.
The County Department of Animal Services has faced increased scrutiny from the public and county leaders over the last year following a series of stories from KPBS. Investigative reporter Scott Rod says the county has addressed some key issues, but other serious problems remain. He sat down with anchor Debbie Cruz to discuss those problems and more.
Scott Rod joins me now to discuss. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Debbie.
To start, remind us, what did your reporting uncover at county-run animal shelters?
So again, we looked into the County Department of Animal Services. They run two animal shelters, one in Carlsbad, one in Bonita, and they serve the unincorporated areas of the county. And my reporting partner, Lainey Alfaro, and I, we found that the euthanasia rate for dogs had spiked in recent years. And we found that some dogs were euthanized under questionable circumstances. There's also a very high staff turnover rate. A couple years ago, it was over 65%. We also found that there was an audit that was done of the department several years ago. It raised some pretty serious concerns, but that audit was buried. And we also uncovered a voice recording that was sent by the former assistant director that included profane, disparaging language about shelter dogs. And so we uncovered quite a bit.
What was the county's response to the issues you found?
Well, the county defended the shelters as doing very important work in the county, and that is true. They do some very important work here. And it's important to note that most dogs and other animals do leave the shelter system alive here in the county. But they also acknowledged that there were some real issues that they needed to improve upon, and that included the short staffing that they had and the euthanasia rate that had gone up significantly, and also some of the shelter practices, including cleaning kennels and also just the conditions for dogs, in particular at the Bonita shelter.
Since then, what improvements has the county made?
Well, they did significantly reduce their dog euthanasia rate. It had gone from about 5% before the pandemic to up to about 12% several years later. It's since dropped to about 6%, so a pretty significant improvement. The staff turnover rate also dropped from over 65% to about to under 35%. So again, quite an improvement. They also named a new director and assistant director recently.
So what issues have not been addressed yet?
Well, some shelter practices down at the Bonita shelter in particular haven't been addressed. That includes hosing down kennels while dogs are still inside. That's something that the Association of Shelter Veterinarians calls unacceptable, which means it should be avoided, full stop. There also are no beds for most dogs at Bonita. That means that they're standing or laying on concrete pretty much for most of the day. I spoke to Amy Fisher. She's a professor at the University of Illinois' Department of Animal Services, and she called these conditions for dogs mind-boggling.
Because it's such an easy fix, and it's just common sense that if you're housing these animals, they should have a bed. They should not get hosed down during cleaning. It's just common sense. So I'm a little upset, to be honest.
And while staff turnover rate has decreased, the shelters have also closed on half a dozen occasions since late last year because of staff shortages.
The county plans to open a new shelter in Santee later this year. How does that factor into all of this?
Well, the new shelter should solve some of these outstanding issues. It would mean relief for animals at Bonita, in particular the dogs there, because the plan is to decommission the Bonita shelter, which is 52 years old, and transfer many of those animals to the new shelter in Santee. But the county said originally that they were going to finish this new state-of-the-art shelter by early 2026. But there have been multiple delays, and now they say it's going to be finished in the fall of this year. And it's worth noting that, I mean, government projects are often delayed, you know, but this isn't the typical government construction project where, you know, with each delay, you're looking at animals staying in substandard conditions, in particular the dogs at Bonita staying in substandard conditions, and that can impact their stress levels, their health, their if there are any behavioral issues that they have, it could exacerbate that, and ultimately it could impact their adoptability.
Right. I've been speaking with KPBS investigative reporter Scott Rod. Thanks for joining me, Scott.
Thank you.
A Barrio Logan icon is open once again. Las Cuatro Milpas has a new location just months after the owners sold the space that had been their home since 1933. Video journalist Matthew Bowler stopped by to check it out.
The rice, beans, tamal, and a taco from Las Cuatro Milpas warm the soul. For almost 6 months, the iconic Barrio Logan taco shop has been closed. Back open now, the line stretches down the block and around the corner. Natividad Estudillo, the great-grandson of the founders, says people love the food, but that's not the only reason they come.
It's a little home for people who can come and enjoy and forget all the troubles out there. It's grandmother's cooking, grandmother's food.
Estudillo says you don't get lines this long without the love of a grateful community. Matthew Bowler, KPBS News.
That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. Thanks for listening and subscribing. By doing so, you're supporting public media, and I want to thank you for that. Have a great day.
Tune into KPBS Podcasts, where San Diego's voices come alive.
Don't let the algorithm tell you what you like. Find things that you really enjoy.
It's really powerful to see how the voice of the students impacted so much change.
Ed, seguimos aquí. We're still here.
Listen now to kpbs.org/podcasts or wherever you listen.